we're super stoked to bring you today's very first episode. So what are we talking about, Vanessa?
Oh, today we're talking about a very important topic.
Probably the most important.
Yeah, I feel like once this shift is made, then everything changes. And we call it the broke healer syndrome.
Mm-hmm. So what is the broke healer syndrome? Dun, dun, dun.
Basically, where I'm going to say like 75% of healers are sitting in, where they're not really confident in who they are and what they can even charge. Mm. And so oftentimes you'll see where they're discounting sessions, giving them away for free, or they don't feel good charging the amount that the session is totally worth.
Right. So what does it look like? How do you know if you're stuck in the broke healer syndrome?
Well, kind of like I said, like you're often feeling like, well, you're it's almost like you're scared or you're guilty. Mm-hmm. You feel guilty to charge for your service. And when you really think about it, people that you're seeing have been suffering for quite some time. In the alternative medicine community, we're, for the most part, we're everybody's last resort. And so you have these people who are in such great deal of suffering, and they've tried everything, and they're literally at your doorstep, likely willing to pay whatever it takes to get better. And it's not that we're taking advantage of these people. We're providing them a solution to help them get free from what they're suffering with. And a lot of healers are like, well, I can't charge X amount of dollars because that's taking advantage of my client.
Mm, that's wrong. Like you were talking about earlier before we hopped on here, you were talking about how it's like, well, they're in pain and they're struggling so much with this and they can't afford it. And it's really about stepping into your power and realizing, A, that they can't not afford it, and B, undervaluing your services is also undervaluing what healing means in that person's life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even just as an example, what we had provided, even like for my cousin, for example, she was in town visiting, and oh my gosh, her story was really interesting in itself. And, you know, she has one session with us and it's like sunshine and rainbows the week afterwards. And I mean, when you're helping somebody go from, like, they're in a poor energy, poor physical state, they don't really like who they are, and then you're transforming that for them, like, that's worth everything.
It is worth literally everything. Like, whether it's emotional health, physical health, think about what that client is going through and how that issue is rippling into the rest of their life. So if they have migraines, for example, if you know how to heal somebody of migraines, well, what does that stop them from?
Oh, it stops them from working. It stops them from eating. It stops them, like, sometimes you can't even sleep. The pain is so bad. It literally turns you into a recluse.
Right. And so then you have this ability to go and heal that person forever, so they never get stifled by a migraine again. And so check in with yourself, guys. Do you feel guilty charging people for the service that you can provide? Because if you do, then you're really undervaluing what the value of healing is in that person's life, where they can now go back to work and they don't have to miss out on making money, where they can finally go and watch their kids' hockey game, or they can do whatever. They can live. They can be part of society.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it important, aside from that, to heal the broke healer syndrome?
Because if you're stuck in that, you're not going to get the results that you're looking for.
Talk about that.
Like, for yourself and for your clients. Like, I for example, I remember a key thing that one of my classmates said to me when I was in school. And she said, nobody makes any money their first year of acupuncture.
Ooh.
And I held that, and I didn't make any money my first year of acupuncture. And
dang.
And so, I mean, one thing is to really check in with what belief systems and what people have projected onto you about this profession, and what is really possible. And I don't remember, what was the question that you asked me?
Is why is it important to heal? You were talking about how you won't get your clients as good of results there if you're stuck in that.
Yeah, if you're if you're already insecure as a healer, like that, who you are goes into the treatment. And so if you are insecure in who you are and what you're able to provide.
And what you're charging. Then, and what the value is.
Yeah, that'll go directly into the session.
Damn. Can you speak more on that? Like, did you experience that personally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was so many times where I was like, this isn't going to work. Mm. And it didn't work. And it's really interesting because when I would step into my power and be like, and people are like, oh my gosh, well, I've been suffering with this for my entire life. And I'm like, that's okay. This is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked every time.
Mm-hmm. Your level of conviction and belief in yourself. Okay, so let's talk about that. So in the first year of your business, you didn't make very much money.
No, I couldn't actually even move out of my parents' house. I didn't make enough money.
Okay, so you didn't make a lot of money. You were trapped in Broke Healer's Syndrome. I can speak on that because I remember when we were at the airport, we're traveling, and I asked you, what is your dream amount that you want to make? Like, by the end of your career, what are you making per year? And you stopped and you thought about it, and you really thought about it, and you were like, I would be so excited to make $70,000. And I almost...
She almost hit the floor.
I almost hit the floor. I was like, what? $70,000 a year or a month? You're like, no, a year. I'm like, okay. there's some blocks here. And you removed those blocks. You got out of Broke Healer's Syndrome. And within a year, you surpassed that.
Yes.
So would you say that it was by building belief, by building a level of conviction in what you could provide, is that what pulled you out of Broke Healer Syndrome?
There was a few things. I think that really taking a look at where that belief system came from, where did I develop that? Like, was it from classmates? Was it from the industry? Like I really had to take a look at where that came from. And on the other side of it, I had to see what else was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And from where I was saying that $70,000 was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know or believe that more was possible.
Right.
Until that was challenged. And then I went, oh, there is more that's possible? Oh, okay, well, show me more then.
Damn, that is brilliant. I love that.
It's kind of like when you're shopping and you're like, oh my gosh, I really like that shirt, but there's only a size small on the rack and you need like a medium or a large. And you're like, oh, I guess I can't have it. And unless you were to ask the sales clerk, hey, do you have any more in the back? You don't know what else is possible.
Right. And they could say, nope, but we actually have 3 in a size medium at the West End location.
Yeah. And so at that point, you're like, oh my gosh, it's possible. And then you can go out and get it.
Right. Okay, so talk about that then, because you and I work a lot with like family systems and belief systems that we literally absorb from our families.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that family can be a really big, can really impress upon what is possible and Broke Healer Syndrome? Like, let's say, because a lot of healers, let's just be honest, a lot of healers are the kind of people like you and I. We never felt like we totally fit in. We've always felt a little bit out of place, like the black sheep almost. And that's, a lot of healers feel that way. So do you think that having grown up maybe where you don't totally feel like you fit in, maybe you kind of feel, you feel different in your family, do you think that that kind of thing, or the way that your family raised you, or their belief systems, would affect how healers can show up in their business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if anybody has taken the time to look into like the biology of belief, then you'll understand that what that book explains is that a lot of our belief systems are developed before we're like 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. Well, actually, okay, there's 2 things. It does matter what your family history is. And I'm not necessarily talking about genetics. I'm talking about just what's gone on in your family through generations. That's one thing. And the second thing is the, like, nuclear family that you grew up with, whether you're adopted into it or whether those are your biological parents. Those systems are running like a program. Like, essentially from when you were born all the way up to age 7 and beyond that, you are creating so many computer-like systems in your body that you become unaware of past that age. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yes.
So it's like you're building your computer system, and that's what you know to operate off of afterwards.
So, for example, would this be a good metaphor? Because you're usually the metaphor queen, but let me try and lay one out here.
Okay.
All right, so you got a computer, and it's the cheapest model. It doesn't come with any sort of apps, really. So you have to buy Word documents.
Mm-hmm.
And so you install it on the computer, and then you never really think about it again. It's installed, and then any time somebody emails you a document and you open it, it automatically opens up in Word Doc, right? It's the same thing. Whatever you installed into your nervous system, into your belief system, before the age of 7, up to the age of 7, and beyond, you know, but mostly up until the age of 7, any time that you receive information or a document, it's going to open up through that filter. It's going to open up through that app or whatever. Is that good at metaphor?
I like where you're going with that. It's like only using Internet Explorer. And I mean, okay. Internet Explorer isn't as compatible with a lot of websites. So, I mean, I don't know how many websites I've opened that have just crashed in Internet Explorer. And then someone's like, well, why don't you use Chrome?
Right.
I'm like, oh my gosh, what is Chrome? They're like, you've never used Chrome before? And like at that moment, you've just been introduced this whole new system. You're like, oh my gosh.
Right. That's just like when we were at the airport and I asked you, how much do you want to make? And you said 70,000. And I was like, what? A month or a year? Like, what? That was me introducing Chrome.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. So depending on the beliefs that were surrounding you around healing, non-traditional modalities, making money in your own business, all these kinds of things, confidence in yourself, all of that, up until the age of 7 and beyond, but a lot of it from the age of 7.
Yeah.
That is going to make up whether or not you kind of get stuck into Broke Healer Syndrome.
Yeah, I for sure. And even beyond that, I mean, like I said, one of the biggest beliefs that I got from acupuncture school was that I was never going to make a lot of money.
Right.
And that was a colleague that said that to me.
And so you took that program and you installed it into your belief system.
Totally. And I ran it for a few years.
Without questioning it.
Until it was questioned by you.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, okay, this needs to change. Right. If that's what's possible, I'm going to go and get it.
Right, exactly. So that's actually a kind of a good segue because you said you asked a question.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts about questions?
I think that everybody should live in the question.
Right.
Because when you're living in a question, you will constantly be provided with what is possible. But when you live in a conclusion like, well, that's never going to happen, well, then you're not opening the possibility of it happening.
Conclusions create contraction and questions create
expansion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Living in the question allows you to create more, whereas living in conclusion, you know, conclusion, a lot of us are just whatever beliefs surrounded us, like we were talking about, we conclude that those are true.
So can you speak on that then? Like, if you speak on conclusions as a broke healer and the broke healer syndrome.
Well, look at your conclusion. Your conclusion was you can't make a lot of money as an acupuncturist. I remember you saying that. You did have that program running. Like, I remember you said, like, well, I didn't get into this to make a lot of money. I just, like, I remember you used to say things like, I'm happy living a really modest and humble life. And I'm going to call a big bullshit on that. I think that that is like what a lot of people say when they're afraid. And when they're afraid even to ask what else is possible. And when we're living in conclusion, well, like I said, it contracts. So what would you like me to speak more on?
What does it look like to live in the question?
Ooh, to live in the question rather than the conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how many examples do we have of that? So one of the things that Vanessa and I got introduced to was Access Consciousness, and they really teach all about living in the question. And I feel like that has changed absolutely everything for us, because the more that you are living in the question, the more things will be shown to you of what else is possible. So that question in itself, what else is possible, will constantly create more, because your brain is going to look to see what else is possible. But when you've concluded something, well, then you've shut it down. Like, that's your conclusion. That's your decision. And when you look at the word to decide, it actually means to kill. When you look at the word conclusion, it means to conclude. It means that it's finished. So you cannot create beyond a conclusion or a decision, because you've killed it. You've concluded. It's done. But when you are living in the question, you're constantly allowing your brain to be on, like, the hunt for more. And I think I really am interested and curious about our subconscious mind and how it works. And when you ask question and you put your brain and your subconscious to work, it will constantly seek new awareness all the time. So like I said before, questions create, conclusions contract.
Can you give us an example of, so someone who's in Broke Healer Syndrome,
mm-hmm.
and can you give us an example of what a conclusion looks like?
Aside from yours?
Yeah.
Okay, a conclusion would be, this person is really sick and they can't afford it.
Oh, snap.
That's a really big one, right? How many people do you work on that are really struggling in their life, but they're willing to pay because they value their health?
Yeah, that, and you'd be amazed how many people who are struggling and suffering that have more money than God and are so willing to pay whatever it takes to heal it.
And here's the thing. This is my belief, and I think that it serves, is that whatever your beliefs are and whatever your thoughts are, so if you are stuck in this Broke Healer Syndrome where you're constantly like, oh, you feel awkward when people are paying, you're afraid that maybe you didn't provide a valuable enough of a service, you're concluding that they have all these health issues and that they can't afford it and that charging for this life-changing service is wrong or bad or out of integrity. When you're living in that, I lost my thought.
When you're living in that, please remember that your subconscious mind is very, very smart.
Oh, that's what I was going to...
It'll sniff that out.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. So sorry, I lost my thought there for a second. When you are living in that belief system, though, that's what you're going to attract.
That's true, yeah.
You will attract those kinds of people. And I want to go back to you, because we've watched your business as an acupuncturist really grow. And when you were in Broke Healer Syndrome... I do remember you were attracting a lot of people that drained your energy. You didn't entirely want them rebooking on your schedule. A lot of them couldn't afford your services. And that has changed. Your clientele has changed as you have. And so that's another reason why it's really important to heal the Broke Healer Syndrome. And that might pose another question. Well, those people need healing too. Well, that's right, but really ask yourself, are you the one that wants to provide it? Like, consider, who would light you up? And that's another good question to ask.
Absolutely. I mean, the number one thing that I would really encourage most healers to do is find a way and find out what all your beliefs are about money. Mm. And when you uproot a lot of that, things will start to change.
Right. And you'll start to attract other people who don't have limiting beliefs about money or about paying for healing services
mm-hmm.
that aren't covered by benefits, let's even say.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. So do you have any concluding thoughts?
Any concluding thoughts?
No.
Oh. I'm so curious about what else is possible.
What else is possible that you've never even considered? Who would light you up to work with? And what are the beliefs that are getting in the way of allowing you to work with those people and to receive true abundance as a healer? Because it is absolutely possible once you get out of conclusion and into question. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us on this podcast. Episode number one, a very important one. And if there's anything specific that you ever would like us to cover, you can email kelsey@theambitiousintrovert.com. Even if you want to give some feedback, you know, drop any little breakthroughs or truth bombs that you really liked. We always love to hear from people who we affect.
Absolutely.
And what you've learned. And yeah, if there's anything you want us to cover, please do let us know. Otherwise, we will see you on the next episode.